partner with Allah. So this is about the maqula of Umar ibn Hanzala, where we learn that mansab of qada is for that kind of person who has the ma'rifat of halal and haram and the ahkam of the sharia. That's the person we call a mutafaqqih, a person who has tafaqquh fi deen. So all the manasib in Islam are amanat of Allah. Amir Umi alayhi salam has mentioned to Uthman ibn Hunayf, one of his wulat, one of his governors, that inna amalaka laysa laka bitu'ma walakinahu fi unuqika amana. That this mansab, this position that you have, is not a tu'ma, it's not a easy loaf of bread for you, easy thing for you to just, you know, enjoy, rejoice, consume, and live your life. In other words, so this is not something for you to have it. It's an amanat. So all the manasib are amanat. Every mansab from Allah is amanat. So that's the fifth one. And the sixth and the last thing, which is amanat, if you remember, we talked about the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, which is actually in the tafsir of the ayat of Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, inna aradna al-amanata ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibali fa'abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insanu innahu kana zaluman jahula. So we have presented the amanat on the heavens and earth and mountains, and they rejected to carry it, and what got scared from it. And وَحَمَّلَهَا الْإِنسَانُ, an insan carried it. Certainly human is very extremely jahil and extremely zalim and extremely jahil. So this is what we learned. These are the amanat, things that we consider to be amanat, and also majalis. It is one of the things that we mentioned. There is al-majalis bil-amana. You know, whenever we discuss something with people, two people are talking among each other, we are not supposed to mention those things to anyone else outside or anywhere. No need for the person to say, don't tell it to anyone. You don't have to say that, because there are rulings of ahkam of sharia already applying automatically. Isn't it right? Whenever two people are talking, you cannot mention your conversation to anyone else, unless you do the zikr of khair about the mu'mineen, and don't mention anything of their private matters to anyone without their permission. So these are the amanat. Now, obviously, alaykum bisidq al-hadith wa wafa' al-ahd. We were talking about the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that, abide by truthfulness in the talk, sidq al-hadith, wa wafa' al-ahd, fulfillment of the covenant and ahd, wa hifz al-amana, protecting of the amanat. فَإِنَّا وَصِيَّةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Certainly that's the wasiyyat of the prophets. So all the prophets have the same wasiyyat. All the prophets advised about the same thing. This is actually one of those fundamental teachings of Islam, where there is no difference between Muslim and kafir. Some of the teachings in Islam are for Muslims. There are certain rules for Muslims only. There are certain rules for mu'mineen. There are certain rules for munafiqeen. There are certain rules for kuffar al-harbiyeen. And there are certain rules for kuffar al-zimmiyeen, ahl-zimma, who agree with the shara'it and conditions of ahl-zimma. So these are various ahkam, and there are different ahkam for murtaddeen, those who are apostates. So, but when it comes to, there are certain rulings of Islam which there is no distinction between a Muslim or a kafir. Here's one hadith. So many hadiths are available. This one is from Al-Khisal of Sheikh Saduq, rahmatullah alayh. Salasun from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Yaqut says, Salasun لم يجعل الله لأحد من الناس فيهن رخصة. Three things Allah did not provide a leave for anyone among the people about that, about those three things. Then he says, بر الوالدين برين كانا أو فاجرين. Doing good towards the parents, whether they are good doers or they are fajir, even they perform harams. Let's suppose a father drinks alcohol. He does gambling. For you as a daughter and a son, it's wajib to do ihsan towards the father. Yes, you will do amr bil ma'ruf towards him as well. No one is above the law. Very respectfully, you will say to your father, this is haram, don't do that. You will say that, but doing good behavior, ihsan means good behavior, with good behavior and performing your duties, wajibat, towards him. Good and dutiful behavior will continue to be wajib on you. Doesn't matter how your father is, even though he may be a kafir, does not matter. When it comes to doing good behavior, there is no difference between a good father and a bad father, a good mother and a bad mother. وَوَفَا بِالْأَحَدْ بِالْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. The second thing where there is no leave, no one is given any exemption, no one is mustasna, it's equally applies, is the concept of وَفَا بِالْأَحَدْ, fulfilling your ahad and your covenant and your promises that you make, whether towards a good doing person or a bad doing person. You can say, no, this person, you know, he's a liar. He deceived me in the business. Well, yes, fine, he deceived you in the business, but if you make a promise with him, you have to fulfill. Don't make the promise then. You were free not to make a promise. But if you make a promise with somebody, even he deceives you in the business, you promise him to meet somewhere for a meeting, fine, go there. Don't say, no, he deceived me in the business, so I will not go. Then don't make a promise if you don't want to go. Yeah, yes, he deceived, which is wrong. We will call it wrong. But once you make a commitment, whether with a bar, with a good doing person or a fajir person, we have to fulfill our promise. Well, ahad al-shar'i, before I come to the ada ul-amana, ahad and the Islamic way of doing ahad and covenant is, obviously we have a sigha in Arabic, ahadullah. That's how it becomes wajib. So if you want to make a legal, Islamically legal, shar'i commitment that is wajib on you to fulfill, you have to say the sigha either in Arabic or its exact translation in your own language. Just like we have for nazar. So in, you know, if you want to do a nazarun shar'i, then you have to say the sigha in Arabic or its exact translation into your own language. For example, lillahi alayya an af'ala kaza. That's the sigha in Arabic. For the sake of Allah, lillahi alayya. It's incumbent upon me. For the sake of Allah, it is incumbent upon me, an af'ala kada, that I will do this and this. I will slaughter one sheep if Allah gives shifa to my son. For example, if you say it in Arabic, lillahi alayya an af'ala kada, or you say exact translation in your language, then it will become nazarun shar'i, which is wajib to fulfill. If you did not say the sigha in Arabic or its translation in your language, then it's not a shar'i nazar, and it's not wajib to fulfill. Likewise, the ahad means if you do the ahad, ahadullaha and asuma salasata ayyamin masalan, I do the covenant to Allah that I will fast for 3 days. If you say that in English or any language or in Arabic, then obviously if Allah fulfills such and such hajat of mine. So if that hajat is fulfilled, it will be wajib on you to fulfill if you say that siga. Wa ada'ul amana. Third thing where there is no distinction between, you know, for anyone, whether it's a Muslim or a kafir. You amanat, you have to return that to even to a kafir. But you can say, no, this is a kafir person. Who cares? No, it's even if he's a kafir, if he gives an amanat to you and accept it, you have to give it back to the kafir person. لو أن قاتل أبي اعتمنني على السيف الذي قتله. Isn't it right? Imam Sajjad al Islam had said something بهكذا مضمون الرواية. If the killer of my father اعتمنني, he gave me as an amanat, the sword with which he killed my father, I would have returned that back to him. Obviously, that doesn't mean Imam is using the word qatalahu, the past tense, the sword with which he killed. He's not using the word yaqtuluhu or sayaqtuluhu, you know, the sword with which he is about to kill. If you know somebody is about to do a haram, you cannot give the sword back to that person because you will be part of the crime. Islam is the religion of ma'quliyat and logic. Isn't it right? If you know a person is about to kill a mu'min, an innocent person, you cannot hand over the sword or a knife or a gun into his hand, so you will be part of that crime. Imam Sajjad al-Islam has used the past tense, the sword with which he has killed. He has already killed. Isn't it right? Then later on he comes, let's suppose, it's a supposition. He comes and gives the sword as an amanat, the Imam is ready to give the sword back. So amanat is important. We will fulfill even to a Muslim or a kafir. Ada ulamama al amana il al barre wal fajr. And also another hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Where he says that al arba'un man kunna fihi fa huwa munafiq wa in kanat fihi wahidatun minhunna كانت فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يدعها. Four things, four if they are found in someone, he is a munafiq. That means four attributes if they are found in any person, he is a munafiq and hypocrite. And if there is one of the four attributes in somebody, then he has an attribute of nifaq until he leaves that. من إذا حدث كذبا, someone who when he talks, he lies. This is a sign of a munafiq. Munafiq has these four signs. So anyone who has all the four signs or even one of the four signs, he has that much segment, that much portion of nifaq in him. If he has all the four signs, he have all the alamat of nifaq in him. This is what we learned from the hadith. من إذا حدث كذبا. So the first thing is that whoever when he talks, he lies. A mu'min does not lie. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. When he promises, he breaches. Breaching the promise is a sign of a munafiq. Mu'min never breaches. You don't make the promise. As simple as that. You don't want to do it, don't make the promise. When you say it, phrasing of your words is very important. وَإِذَا أَحَدَ غَدَرَ. So when he makes a ahad and covenant, he betrays. وَإِذَا خَصَمَ فَجَرَ. When he disputes, he performs fujur. Some people end up using abusive language, haram, doing haram things. Then the time of conflict, we don't end up using abusive language or saying haram things to a person just because we are upset. Well, that does not allow. So, another hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he says, أَقْرَبُكُمْ غَدًا مِنِّي فِي الْمَوْقِفِ أَصْدَقُكُمْ لِلْحَدِيثِ. The closest person among you tomorrow on the stand means on the day of judgment when we will be standing there. Everyone will be standing there on the day of judgment. So on that day, the closest person to Rasulullah will be Astaqukum lil hadith, someone who is the most truth-telling in the talk. Wa addakum lil amana, and the one who is the best in taking care of the amanat. وَأَوْفَاكُمْ بِالْأَهَدِ, the one who is the most faithful towards the ahad and covenant. وَأَحْسَنُكُمْ خُلْقًا, and the one who is the best in terms of morality. وَأَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنَ النَّاسِ, and the closest to the people. You know, if you have those people who have, you know, they leave the society. There are some people who think if you you become mutadayyin, if you leave the society, this is mushabih towards ruhbaniyat, la ruhbaniyat of Islam. We don't have ruhbaniyat. This is something promoted by by the Christians. In Islam, we don't have ruhbaniyat. You cannot become, you cannot be higher in your level towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by breaking away from the society. Islam asks us to break away from dunya, not the society. They are two different things. There's a fine line. You know, we keep away from hubbud dunya, but we live in this dunya, we live in the society, with the people, with the and the same society of humans. If you don't live, you cannot do so much that we are supposed to do in Islam, the social duties and the political duties. So, la ta'idanna idatan la tasik min nafsika bi injaziha. In Ghurarul Hikam, Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, do not promise, do not make a promise that you are not, satisfied from yourself to fulfill it. If you're not satisfied, if a person, you're not sure you are able to fulfill. If you are not sure that you are able to fulfill a promise, don't make it. لا تعدن أخاك وعدا ليس في يدك وفاؤه. Similar thing in mentioned here. Another hadith from Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Before we come to some of the stories in the life of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, إذا وعدتم الصغار فأوفوا لهم. Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam says, when you promise the children, then fulfill for them. That means even for children, you cannot say, well, I said, okay, I'm going to give you a candy, or I'm going to buy you such and such thing, but I don't fulfill it. I just said it to my child, so what? Oh, it's a promise is a promise. Even towards the children, if you make it, you have to fulfill it, or don't make it. So, this is a من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليفه إذا وعد. Whoever believes, has iman in Allah and the final day, should fulfill if he when he promised. So now, coming to just a couple of stories before I end the speech. The first story I would like to mention is about the death of Hazrat Fatima bint Asad salamullah alayha, the mother of Amir Mumineen alayhi salam. When she passed away, well, she had a lot of ihsan and good behavior she had done towards Rasulullah when Rasulullah was an orphan and yatim. Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam and Hazrat Fatima bint Asad salamullah alayha, they are the ones who raised, isn't right? They're just like father and mother towards Rasulullah. So raising the greatest human of the history in your house is enough. So she is definitely one of the greatest women in the entire history. Actually, when Amir Mumin alayhi salam, she came to the Holy Kaaba next to the she came at the for the occasion of the birth. She said that sentence that Allah gave me a fadilat that He has never given to anyone before me.
Which is a fact.
The fadilat that she has never been given to anybody before him, before her. So she is one of the greatest ladies of the entire history of humanity. The only woman who ever entered into the Kaaba for giving birth. Isn't it right? Even Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, who is the most superior, but she was not born inside the Kaaba. So Hazrat Fatima bint Asad has certain specific khususiyat, ikhtisasan, specifically for her. So now at the time of her death, Rasulullah so Amir Rumi alayhi salam came to Rasulullah, and Rasulullah started to cry when he got the news of Fatima bint Asad salamullah alayha dying. Prophet started to cry. Thank you. Then he said to Imam Ali al-Islam, "Hada qamisi fakaffinha fihi wa hada rida'i fakaffinha fihi." This is my qamis. He gave his qamis, his shirt, and his rida to serve as kafan for her. And falamma ukhrijat salla 'alayha an-nabi, when she was taken out, that means her janaza was taken out, Prophet prayed over her janaza. Salatan lam yusalli qablaha wala ba'daha ala ahadin mislaha. So Prophet prayed a prayers that he never prayed over anyone before her or anyone after her. This is the kind of prayers he prayed over her. Thumma nazila ila qabriha faltada'a fihi. Prophet came, went down into the qabr, into the grave, and slept inside the qabr of Fatima bint Asad alayha salam. Thumma qala laha ya Fatima. Prophet said to her, "O Fatima," and she replied back, "Labbaik ya Rasulullah." She is dead, but she replied back. Faqala hal wajadti ma wa'ada rabbuki haqqan. Did you find what your Lord promised you as truth? Qalat na'am. She said yes. Fajazakallahu khayra jaza'in. Fajazakallahu khayra jaza'in. May Allah give you the best jaza. And Prophet talat munajatuhu fil qabr. He did his munajat inside the qabr. Prophet is there. He is not coming out. He is doing his munajat with Allah. For a long time, when he came out, people, obviously asked her and asked him about all what Prophet given his qamis, given his rida, he did his long munajat for her. So Prophet said, "Sa'altu Allah fi salati alayha an la yabla akfanuha hatta tadkhul al jannah." فَأَجَابَنِي إِلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ. I asked Allah that her, her kafan should not become decayed and until she enters the paradise, and Allah answered me for that. So, وَأَمَّا دُخُولِي فِي قَبْرِهَا. As far as my entering into her qabr, فَإِنِّي لَمَّا قُلْتُ لَهَا يَوْمًا إِنَّ الْمَيِّتْ إِذَا أُدْخِلَ قَبْرَهُ وَانْصَرَفَ النَّاسَ عَنْهُ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكَانِ مُنْكِرْ وَنَكِيرْ وَيَسْأَلَانِهِ فَقَالَتْ وَغَوْصَاهُ بِاللَّهِ فَمَا زِلْتُ أَسْأَلْ رَبِّي فِي قَبْرِهَا حَتَّى فَتَحَ لَهَا بَابٍ مِنْ قَبْرِهَا. فتح لها باب من قبرها إلى الجنة، فصار روضة من رياض الجنة. Prophet is mentioning, telling the reason why he entered into the qabr is that when I said to her one day that, you know, that dead person, when he's put into the grave and people go away, two angels enter into the qabr, you know, Munkar and Nakir, and they start asking the person, the dead person. She said she started to seek help from Allah. And so I was seeking help. I was asking Allah, Prophet said. I was asking my Lord in her qabr until Allah opened a door inside her qabr towards the paradise, and it became one of the gardens among the gardens of paradise. So this is how you find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing towards Fatima bint Asad alayhi salam. This is part of the Ada'ul Amana. Likewise, we learn in the Qissa and the story of Ashura. In the night of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what he did, he extinguished the candle. And he asked everyone, "Inni qad azintu lakum fantaliqu jami'an fi hillin laysa alaykum minni dhimam wa hadha al-laylu qad ghashiyakum fattakhidhuhu jamalan wal ya'khudh kullu rajulin minkum bi yadi رجل من أهل بيتي فجزاكم الله جميعا خيرا وتفرقوا في سوادكم ومدائنكم فإن القوم إنما يطلبونني ولو أصابوني لذهلوا عن طلب غيري. So here we learn in the light of that statement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in the night before Ashura, after he extinguished the candle, he said to everyone that I am allowing you to leave. You are in hill, means you are in a halal situation. It's halal for you. It's allowed for you to leave. Your the mas'uliyat, the responsibility, the of the walayat of the imam of the time and the mawla is on the neck of the people, believers. The imam is lifting that responsibility, and you can leave. These people only want me. If they, if they come to me, they would ignore everyone else and seeking anyone else, which was true. They were wanting to kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So look at the karamat and look at the istighna, you know, how much he's beniaz and needless of anyone other than Allah. This is the tawakkul of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. A person reaches a level where no one is anything for him other than Allah. His tawajjuh is only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, if sinners like me were there, we would try to keep our companions with us. Because we are short of people. Isn't it right? We would like to keep as many people should stay with us because we are already lonely. Imam Hussein is doing the opposite. He's asking everyone to leave. This is the peak of reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the azmat of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. So now you see the behaviors of people. So first behavior is from Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. So obviously the narration says فَقَالَ لَهُ إِخْوَتُهُ وَأَبْنَاؤُهُ وَبَنُوا أَخِيهِ وَأَبْنَاؤُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنْ جَعْفَرِ. So they, everyone, all those people from Banu Hashim, I said, may Allah never make us see that situation. That means we never end up seeing a time, in other words, that we leave and you are left alone. والتفت الحسين ابن حسين عليه السلام إلى بني عقيل حسبكم من القتل بمسلم اذهبوا فقد أذنت لكم. Then Imam Hussain turned towards the children of Aqil عليه السلام. And the killing of Muslim is enough for you, so go away, I allow you. And look at their response, and they similar kind of thing, you know, they all refused. How can they leave the Imam alayhi salam like this? وَقَالَ مُسْلِمْ ابْنُ عَوْسَجَ سَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ أَنَحْنُ نُخَلِّي عَنْكَ وَبِمَاذَا نُعْتَذَرْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي أَدَاءِ حَقِّكَ. Shall we leave you? Then how will we have an excuse before Allah in fulfilling your haqq? أَمَا وَاللَّهِ لَا أُفَارِقُكَ حَتَّى أُطْعَنْ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ بِرُمْحِي وَأَضْرِبْ بِسَيْفِي مَا ثَبَتَ قَائِمُهُ بِيَدِهِ وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعِي سِلَاحٌ أُقَاتِلُهُمْ بِهِ لَقَذَفْتُهُمْ بِالْحِجَارَةِ حَتَّى أَمُوتَ مَعَكْ. He said, I'm not going to leave you. Even if I have no weapon, I will still fight against the enemies with a stone until I get killed. This is the reply of Muslim ibn Awsaja, salamullahi alayhi. And then Sa'id ibn Abdullah al-Hanafi, salamullahi alayhi. Sa'id and Zuhair, one of the greatest two companions, standing in front of the Imam at the time of Dhuhr. Sa'id ibn Abdullah al-Hanafi, salamullahi alayhi, he said, Wallahi la nukhallika hatta يعلم الله حتى يعلم الله أن قد حفظنا غيبة رسوله فيك. I swear to Allah, we are not going to leave you until Allah knows that we protected in the absence of His Messenger, we protected Rasulullah about you. This is actually defense of Risalat of Rasulullah. Imam al-Husayn al-Islam stands for the Risalat of Rasulullah, which is Risalat stands for the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these Ashab are defending the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and defending the Risalat and defending the Tawheed. Amma wallahi law alimtu anni uqtal thumma uhya thumma uhraq hayyan thumma udharra yuf'al bi thalik 70 marra lama faraqtuka hatta alqa jamadunaka. I swear to Allah, if I am killed and then I again become alive and then I, you know, am burnt alive, still not going to leave. 70 times it happens, I'm still not going to leave you. وَكَيْفَ لَا أَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ قَتْلَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ ثُمَّ هِيَ الْكَرَامَةُ الَّتِي لَنْ قِضَاءَ لَهَا أَبَدًا. And how would I leave you? Because it's just one time getting killed. This is a karamat of Allah. Then after that, it's a karamat of Allah which never ends. And Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, salamullah alayh, said a similar kind of statement towards Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And Muhammad ibn Bashir al-Hadrami, قَدْ أُسْرَ إِمَام. In that time, his son got arrested and close to the Ray. Ray is the, in Farsi we say Ray Shahar. It's now part of Tehran, part of Greater Tehran. In those days it was a different city, separate city from Tehran. Ray. And those people who belong to that city, in Arabic we call them Ar-Razi, like Imam Fakhruddin Ar-Razi, he is actually from the city of Ray. They are called Razi in Arabic. So, and close to that, that was a nice green neighborhood in those days. His son, Muhammad ibn Bashir al-Hadrami, son got arrested by the army of Yazid, close to that city. So الإمام عليه السلام قال له الحسين عليه السلام أنت في حل من بيعتي. You are in the state of you know, you are allowed, in other words, to go away from my bayat is no longer binding on you. So go and you know, try to set free your son, your son. He said, La wallahi la af'al dhalik. Akalatni sibaa hayyan in faraqtuka. I swear to Allah, I'm not going to do that. May I get eaten alive by the wild animals if I leave you. So this is the kind of bay'at, wafa bil ahad, that you find from the companions of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and how they stood fast with the bay'at, with the wafa, towards the ahad that they have done towards Allah, and ada of amanat towards the walayat of the Imam of their time. And obviously, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, all of them, either qawlan or halan, you know, so we have al-qawl al-lisani, and we have al-qawl al-hali. Sometimes we say in Arabic, lisan al-qal or lisan al-hal. Sometimes people say something by their tongues. This is called lisan al-qal. Sometimes it's lisan al-hal. They don't say it with their tongues, but their situation says it. With their complete wujud, this is what the situation is saying loud and clear, even though they don't say it from their tongue, but their situation is saying it. So all the ashab of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, whether through their tongues or with their situations, have said this statement, awafaytu yabna rasulullah. This is the statement of all of them, either bilisan al-qal, through their oral statement, or bilisan al-hal. And obviously, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam replied to Sa'id and Zuhair, Anta amami fil jannah, which is a dalil that's narrated in Zakhiratul Darain. So this is a dalil, this kalam of Imam al-Husayn is hujjat of Allah. So Sa'id and Zuhair will be ahead in paradise, ahead of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, because they were standing ahead of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. They are part of the Sabiqeen. As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon, Ula'ika al-Muqarrabun. So this is, so when Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam went towards the Furat, we are talking about Wafa bil Ahad, the concept of Wafa bil Ahad in Islam and its importance. The people of Ibn Ziyad, the person who was there, Umar ibn al-Hajjaj, la'anatullah alayhi, he was standing at the Nahr of Furat. And so one of the soldiers of Umar ibn Sa'd said that you can drink the water, but you cannot take the water for Hussein. So one of the ashab of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam replied that wallahi la ashrab minhu qatratan wal Hussein wa man ma'ahu min alihi wa sahbahu atasha. As long as Imam al-Hussein and his family and his companions are thirsty, I'm not going to drink a single drop. This is the wafa. This is the wafa that you find towards the ahad. So this is why. So in the narration from Nafasul Mahmum of Sayyid in Nafasul Mahmum, it is narrated that Imam al Hussein alayhi salam said to his ashab, Lamma arif al Hussein alayhi salam minhum sidq al niyya wal ikhlas. When he found the sidq al niyya, truthfulness in their niyat, and ikhlas and sincerity, Imam al Hussein alayhi salam قال إني غدا أقتل وكلكم تقتلون معي ولا يبقى منكم أحد. I'm going to die and all of the, you going to die and none of you will remain. And some of the narrations tell us that Imam Hussein showed each of his ashab his maqam and place inside the Jannat and Paradise. They saw, all of them were Ahlul Yaqeen. They saw their place inside the Paradise before their death. So those who are Ahlul Yaqeen, they deserve to be shown and they are shown. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, especially the Sidq al Hadith and Ada'ul Amana and Al Wafa bil Ahad. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.